Happy Mother's Day, wherever you're watching. Wow. Good Lord. Oh, we're going to get on this even more today. So, today I have a special message from mothers. Call your mother. She's worried about you. No? Really, you should. Call your mother today. Make sure you do that. Even if you, maybe you got a strained relationship, maybe you don't know, but I want to tell you one thing. No one says, my mother is in heaven right now, keeping Jesus at bay for one. Yeah, she's there. She's up there keeping Jesus at bay, reminding him there's still more in the race I have to run before he calls me home. So that being said, you never know. You only get one mom. So just make sure you know that. And a mother doesn't have to be somebody who gave birth to you. It could be somebody who raised you as your mother. Just know that. A mother's heart is there. So that being said, I want to share with us something that's always common this time of year at Mother's Day, and it's Proverbs 31, verse 28 to 29, and I think it perfectly encapsulates what a mother is, and we're going to have some fun today with this. Can we do that in the house of the Lord? Give me an amen if we can. All right. Proverbs 31, verse 28 and 29 says this, her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. If you want to be anything, I think a Proverbs 31 woman is what every woman aspires to be as they grow up. If you ever want to teach your daughter what to be in the Lord, read Proverbs 31. It is just something that is great to be aspired to. It talks about a wife of noble character. It talks about everything that I think describes a mother. Believe it or not, to me, I think it points to Mary, the mother of Jesus, before she came. So speaking of mothers, it wouldn't be appropriate. I had all kinds of crazy pictures, I'm sure. I've shared this one before, but this is my mother taking me home from the hospital. I think it's going to be up there. If not, you're going to see it. It may not be up on the screen, but I had a picture of my mother taking me home from the hospital, and I just wanted to say how lucky you are in the world that we live in, because you just see my sister beheaded, apparently. It's just this part of my sister looking over my shoulder to make sure that I'm good wherever she was. And so I just want to say today you have cameras. We didn't know this, and that was, it was a 3.5 by 5, and back in my day, I can say it now, there's gray hair. You had to wait till it was developed to see how the picture went, right? And there was always a finger in there somewhere, right? Like somebody had a finger spotted, or there was something like that. So wherever you are, I know my mom, she's in heaven right now celebrating, but wherever you are right now, if you're a mother, we want to say thank you. And there's so much more we're going to talk about with that. So I want you to let, specifically if your mother's here today, say this, but let three people know God sees you and God loves you. Come on. If it's your mother, God sees you and God loves you. God sees you and God loves you. God sees you and God loves you. I want you to know God sees you and God loves you. So today we're going to go a little different, kind of a little different than what you're expecting from me, I think. Today I kind of want to have like a halftime talk, like a coach gives at halftime, a little pump up. Can we do that in the house of the Lord? So today, here's who I want to talk to. I want to talk to somebody today who feels underappreciated, undervalued, and unseen. Do we have anybody like that in the house of the Lord today? I feel like almost every mother could raise their hand at this. I want to talk to somebody who every day you serve selflessly, those who are in your household, only to walk in the door and not hear, I'm so glad to see you, but what's for dinner? I want to talk to somebody today when you've asked all weekend long if there's homework due, and at 9 p.m. tonight, one of your kiddos are going to come to you and say, oh yeah, I got this big project due first thing in the morning. How much have you started is the answer, the question the parents ask. I haven't. That's the answer. Every time. I want to talk to those people today because I think that that encapsulates a mother. It encapsulates a family because a mother gives more. A mother serves more. A mother helps more than anyone would ever know. And she does it not because she wants accolades, not because she wants her name in shining lights. She does it because she loves. She wants to bless those. And so, Mom, today I think of you, short order cook, taxi driver, food delivery driver, cheerleader. Maybe today you're a housekeeper, wherever you are. You get to play defense attorney, judge, and if need be, executioner. Am I right? Like, Mom, you know, and the execution is just a look. It's just a look. That's all it is. The executioner. That is Mom. So I just want to say this today for every one of you, because I know as moms, even when you serve, even when you give, you don't expect it. But sometimes, don't you just wish somebody would say thank you? And so that being said, I would love for all of our mothers to stand up, and church, we are going to say thank you to them. And I want to tell you right now, they better hear us at City Hall. So mothers, stand up. All mothers, stand up. Even if you got a mother's heart, if you got that, ready? One, two, three, church. We got to let them know. Come on, we got to let them know. Small clap, not golf clap. Come on, woo! We got to, I want the kids figuring this out. Right? All right, thank you, moms. You can be seated. Today, I hope that you know that you are precious and you are loved. And just because maybe you haven't given birth to a child, there are people here I know who have a mother's heart, and I'm thankful for that. And so wherever you are, moms, here's what I want to share with you. We're going to be in a familiar story in Luke 17 today. Wherever you are right now, I want you to know Jesus knows how you feel. Jesus knows how you feel. And I want to give you three things to remember today when you feel underappreciated, undervalued, and unseen. And it's found in this familiar story in Luke 17, Luke chapter 17, and it's going to start in verse 11. As always, if you don't have a Bible, we'd love to give you one free for the asking. They're located over there in the garden, wherever you're watching around the world throughout the week. Zach Candler makes this stuff look pretty for our Vine production team, so wherever you're watching around the world throughout the week, we're going to make sure, he's going to make sure it's on the screen for you wherever you're watching. We're thankful for him getting that every week done and so much more. And outside of that, if you would like to follow along with us for free in our Vine Church app, just go to your favorite app store. And when you do that today, you can download the free Vine Church app. There'll be a notes tab and all that crazy good stuff. Let you know everything that's going on. Our sower's breakfast coming up. We got baptism next week. We got Father's Day coming up. We got a baccalaureate service. May even have an ordination service coming up real soon. So wherever you are, make sure you download that for free so you can stay informed. And we start it this way every week. If you're at Luke 17, starting in verse 11, give me an amen. All of God's people said amen. And it says this in verse 11 through 14. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him, and they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." Church, say these next four words with me. One, two, three. And as they went, they were cleansed. Now, we're not going to do a message on that today, but this is a message in a message. As they went. As they went, they weren't healed right there immediately by Jesus. They had to follow him obediently step by step to the priest to experience the fullness of healing. I don't know about you, but so many times Jesus calls me to something and I expect it to be done right there. And he's just calling me to one simple step and the next simple step and the next simple step. That is what he is calling to you. So maybe you're in that season today, and I just want to tell you, you got to keep following him step by step to experience the fullness of the healing. Don't get mad at him because you're not seeing the fullness of it. Trust him one step at a time, because we're going to see with these lepers how they treat Jesus. And moms, I think you're going to be able to see them, be able to see the similarity of how Jesus feels here. Now, just a reminder at the time, lepers were not considered to be part of the community. What's beautiful with lepers here is lepers actually were supposed to walk around everywhere and scream, "Unclean, unclean." What you wish your kid would be when they need a bath, right? Like, they don't ever do that. That's when they tell you, "Did you take a bath?" "Yes, you were in there 30 seconds. I know better." Like, right? Like, all the way through. "Did you wash your hands?" "Yes, I never heard water running." Like, you wish they would scream unclean. But lepers were called to scream unclean because in the Jewish community, what folks thought is when you had a skin condition like that, you were a sinner, or you were paying for your parents' sins or your sins. And so you had to be outside the camp, outside of the community, until it was cleansed. Once it was cleansed, you had to go to a priest to be declared ceremonially clean before you could even spend time with your family again. But I want to ask you something really quick, church. Did those lepers scream unclean? They didn't. They just said, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And so wherever you are today, I just want you to know, the first thing you got to remember when you feel underappreciated, undervalued, and unseen is I want you to be reminded today your worth is determined by God. To every one of those lepers, their worth was not determined by God. Their worth was not determined it was determined by others. They were told that they were unclean. They were told that they didn't belong. They were told that they were outcast. But yet they came to Jesus, who is the Son of God, God in flesh, fully God, fully man, and said, "Have pity on us. Mom, today, wherever you are, your worth is not what somebody said on a post. Your worth is not how clean your house is. Your worth is not how your kids behave. Your worth is not what your family say or your friends say about you or perfect mom. Because what I love about the picture I would share with you, my mother, that when she brought me home from the hospital, she didn't have to take 15 photos to get me positioned just right. She just took the picture. It was in the moment. And so, mom, that's all you're called to be. Don't worry about what everybody else says. And you know what? You're going to mess up. And it's okay. And you know what? When your kid's a teenager, they're going to tell you how you messed up. But you know what? You're going to train them in the way of the Lord. And when they are old, they will not depart from it. And I promise you, once those teen years pass, they're going to come back to you. And they're going to remind you how much they appreciate you. I want you to know today, when you feel unseen, when you feel undervalued, when you feel underappreciated, maybe you're not a mom today. I want you to know God knows your worth. That's why he sees you and he loves you. And church, if you're a Christian, we know this intellectually, don't we? We know this spiritually. How does it go? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Yet most of the time when I look back at my hurt, it was always words. It wasn't a baseball hitting me. It wasn't a football player hitting me. It wasn't a skin on the knee. It wasn't the bike messing up my toe, even though mama told me I needed to wear shoes. It wasn't any of those things. It was words. And so will you let the words of others determine your worth, or will you let the word of God determine your worth? When you feel unseen, go to Jesus. At least the lepers showed us that they could do that. Because the truth of the matter is, someone's inability to see your worth does not change your worth to God, does it? It didn't change Jesus's. Think of his entire ministry. Nobody, his own brothers didn't believe he was who he says he was. We get the book of James in the Bible from his brother James, who didn't believe that he was Jesus, the Son of God, until he was resurrected. His own brother was like, yep, that's my older brother. He's the crazy one. Water to wine, you know that type. He's right there. Yeah, he's out there. He's out there breaking bread and fish, feeding 5,000 people. That guy, he's talking about eating flesh and drinking blood like that. That's my brother. He's in his goth stage. You know what I'm saying? Like, wherever it was. Yeah, that didn't change his mission, did it? Even when they were standing outside and they said, Jesus, your family is waiting outside to hear from you. And he said, my family are those who do the will of the Father, who trust the one he has sent. And that is Jesus. So today, would you be reminded of this? Would you be reminded that God knew you before you were born in Christ Jesus? You are a royal ambassador, a royal priesthood set apart in everything that you do in Christ Jesus. When you walk in a dark room, you are the light of Christ. When you walk in a room, hope walks in the room. When you walk in a room, faith is strengthened regardless of what they say. Mom, know that for your kids. Dad, know that for your kids. Wherever you are, where Jesus is, he promises where two or three gathered in his name, there he is also. There is strength, hope, and faith, and love to be found. Let's go on to see what happens with this, church, and I'm going to get you to participate with me here. In verse 15, read those first three words with me on the count of three. One, two, three. One of them. How many of them, church? One. How many did Jesus heal? 10. He healed 10 and only one came back. This is good stuff. Mom, you're going to understand this. One of them, when he saw was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "We're not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except a foreigner?" Remember when Jesus was there and he meets the Samaritan woman at the well, he says, first, salvation has to come from the Jews. Then it will go to the Gentiles. Whenever he ascended to heaven and the Holy Spirit falls at Pentecost, Jesus said, you go to Jerusalem and Judea, then Samaria and the ends of the earth. So he's saying, hey, an outsider, just like the Good Samaritan, now an outsider understands who Jesus is better than the people who were cleansed by him, the religious folk. So nine of them just went about their merry way. Nine of them thought, I deserve this. Nine of them thought, I was born in this situation. It's finally time something good happens to me. Nine of them said, Jesus better heal me because I rolled up with him if he is the Son of God. I done did what I had to do to the priest. I've got other things to do. I don't need to go back to him. Nine of them. So even Jesus batted 100. Only 1 out of 10. So if your kiddo doesn't come back to say thank you right away, understand, even Jesus knows how that feels. The second thing I want to remind you of is this. Oh, you're going to know this one. Those who you serve the most often appreciate you the least. Those who you serve the most often appreciate you the least. Those you serve the most often appreciate you the least. Wouldn't you say that it was important that these lepers were restored to their families? They had been outside the camp, dregs of society. No one would touch them. Everybody just, while they were screaming unclean, everyone thought, sinner. Right? They thought, sinner. They didn't want to be around them. Yet all of a sudden, only one comes back. Wherever you are right now, when you do a lot for others, it's not celebrated because it's seen as normal. And you may not know that. And I know that that can be really, really crazy. Maybe right now you think, I spent all of this time doing this for you and making this meal, and all you left was a plate full on the table. Or you left an empty plate and didn't put it in the dishwasher, right? I spent all this time on this party, and you won't even smile for a picture. Sound familiar, right? I got you the gift you wanted. And instead you said, I wanted the other color. What? I know that happens. I bought you everything, Pee-wee Herman, and you love a flashlight. If you know, you know, right? If you know, I bought everything Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and now all of a sudden you're Power Rangers. Is that even a thing anymore? I don't know. But wherever you are, whatever that looks like, you know how that feels. Moms, dads, you know how that feels. So a reminder, what's normal isn't celebrated. And I want you to know it's not that they are grateful, but that it means that they're normal. What you are doing is normal. And I know that's a hard thing to say when it comes to normal, but I want to think about this. Do you know how you're good at something? As if you stop doing it and then start doing it again, the compliments stop. And what do I mean by that? Well, think of it this way when it comes to being celebrated. If you're always on time and someone's always late and shows up on time, which one's celebrated? The late person, right? If you always struggle to do well in school and you're a C and D student, and all of a sudden you come up to a B student versus an all A student, which one gets celebrated? The C and D to the B. It doesn't make sense. Like the A student you would think would be honored all the time. You're like, they get awards at the end of the year, but this kid's working hard, right? If you are somebody who has your house always clean when somebody comes over, yet all of a sudden there's a messy house when everybody comes over that gets clean, which one gets celebrated? The messy house getting clean. You're right. You see where I'm going right there. If you are somebody who is always prepared, and yet somebody who's always unprepared now finally comes prepared, who gets celebrated? The one who's unprepared. Now, that doesn't mean I'm telling you to be sloppy and a way crazy mess and just all over the place, because I know sometimes you're just struggling to get here. But what I'm trying to say is understand the reason that it matters is what you are creating normal is not celebrated yet, because it means that you're a faithful steward to someone in your life. You are a trustworthy person. You are dependable. And it's not going to be complimented till later. And so I want you to know right now, moms, wherever you are, you go above and beyond. And yes, you get a day. And yes, that's why we try to celebrate you today. But I'm telling you right now, at some point, you will hear those words, thank you. You may not think it's ever going to happen. And then when it happens, get a camera, video it, and throw it in their face. I'm just kidding. Whatever that is, like all the way through, you don't. But let me talk to you about that, just thinking about that when it happens. Moms, I do want to share this. Just because I wrote this down because it made me think of my mother. Just because your children, or just because if it's not mom that I'm talking to, the person that I'm talking to who feels unseen and unloved and underappreciated and just feel like they're undervalued. Just because they didn't notice it now don't mean they won't notice it later. Mom and dad, I want to talk to you for a second, especially if you got little kids. Eventually they're going to get in those teenage years. They're going to tell you not to cheer for them. They're going to tell you not to do those things. Forget that. Keep cheering. All right, I don't know how many people. I'm going to go back in my day for a minute. Back in high school football, obviously, if you're watching around the world, that's a big deal here in the South where we were. Norman Spartan High game growing up was like a big deal. I don't think it's as big as it used to be. And there were probably 6,000, maybe 8,000, there may have been more than that, at a football game. Like a high school football game. How crazy is that, right? But I can tell you, in the field and on the field, I could pick out two voices easily like that. And it was my mother and my sister in a sea of people. I could hear everything they were saying just like that. And I've shared it before, and most of the time it was my mom saying, "Don't hit my baby." Like, it was just that all the time. And I'm like, I'm on the offensive line. I'm going to get hit. Like, this is going to happen. It's just part of the game. But I could hear that. And then I could hear her cheering for me in the midst of all of that. And so I want to tell you, sometimes when you go there, they're going to tell you, "Don't be so loud. Don't cheer for this stupid mom." But they're going to carry that. Mom and dad, keep cheering. Because that's something I'll always carry with me. It'll never change. It'll never change. Anybody who's a grandparent will tell you that appreciation comes back then. Because the question that's always asked is, "Mom or dad, how did you do it? How did you do it? How did you juggle all of that? How did you make it happen?" It's one of my favorite scenes in we won't talk about Christmas supply or Christmas vacation, because he said he had a little help from Jack Daniels. We won't go there in the house of the Lord today. That's how they did it. But all that to say, how did you do it? They're paying attention. Let's see how this story ends and see how this healing ends. And this is what Jesus is going to say in verse 19 to the one who came back. "Then he said to him, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.'" Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. So Jesus is saying to him, rise and go. He's talking about his faith. So only one comes back and nine don't. So the other nine did not see the leper praising Jesus and his name, did they? They didn't see him come back rejoicing in the Lord. They didn't see him cleansed in front of the Lord. Only one-on-one with Jesus did that one leper who was with Jesus see it. And so I want to remind you today, the third thing I want to remind you today is this. What no one else sees is often most significant to God. What no one else sees is often most significant to God. No, we're not singing the country song, "Who Are You When I'm Not Looking." We're not doing that today. We're not doing it. Y'all are getting stuck. I'm trying to collect. Anyway, never mind. "Who are you?" And you're welcome. There we go. So what no one else sees is often most significant to God. I want you to think back when Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6. Before he gives us the Lord's Prayer, what does he say? "When you pray, go into your room and get on your knees and shut your door to pray to me. And your Father sees what you do in private will celebrate you publicly." It does not mean we don't have public prayer. It means that you and I first must have a private prayer with God first, and then we have public prayer. In the world we live in, it's often what's seen that's celebrated, isn't it? Not what's unseen. It's often the perfect picture that's celebrated, the perfect house, the perfectly washed car, which does not happen this time of year because we have a yellow brick road everywhere we go that is filled with pollen. That's what it is, always. It doesn't matter. Follow the yellow brick road. I mean, that's it. And then once that happens, the bird will see the clean car and they'll make it a white and purple filled car, right? You know what I'm saying? They will just find a way to mess it up. But I want you to know today, we often celebrate that thing that's seen. The world will do that, but God matters because God sees the motives of your heart. He sees the sacrifice of your spirit. That's why your worth matters to him. That's why you understand Jesus understands what you're going through. Your worth matters to God. He also sees when you love those who did that thing that seemed unforgivable. People will continue to celebrate what they see. Rarely what they don't. Everyone loves celebrating a championship, don't they? Professional sports, man, the whole city is in a stir. And what I love, and I've been guilty of this, hey, football season here, because football season matters. What does it often say when you talk about this team you support? There's a word you probably use. "We play this team." Who y'all play this week? I don't play nobody. I may be a Florida State fan, but I don't play nobody. I don't play for Florida State. But yeah, what's the phrase we use? "Oh, well, we play this team. We play that team. We want to take part in that." And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but I want to say in this world we live in, the whole city wants to take part in the victory. If that one leper was with Jesus and Jesus stood among the crowd and he says, look at the faith and praise of this person, what do you think them other nine would have been doing? Son, they'd have been clawing to get up there on that stage so that they could be celebrated. But you see, what people don't see when it comes to championships is they don't see everything that happened behind the scene. They don't see those teams practicing sun up to sun down, sometimes even after that. They don't see the sacrifice they make. They don't see them going and doing what they're called to do when it would be easy to have a day off, when it would be easy just to relax. They don't see them pushing through one more rep. They don't see them continuing to make themselves better at their craft. They don't see them trying to advance the mission. They just see the end result. And there's nothing wrong with celebrating the end result. Just understand wherever you are right now that the most important thing that God sees in you is what is unseen, because what is unseen will eventually be seen, right? Jesus talks about that in John. What happens when the light is revealed to the world? He says the world doesn't love him because of what they do in darkness, and they love the darkness more than the light because it reveals what's been done in the dark. So when you give and you serve unto the Lord today, be reminded that God sees you when no one else does. Be reminded that God sees you when no one else does. He sees when you're here early every Sunday morning, setting up church, and every Sunday afternoon or every Sunday at lunch, tearing down church when everyone else thinks this is just normal. He sees that. He sees you when you continue to serve others when they reject you. And they say that they deserve to be served when it would be easy for you to say, it's my time, serve me. He sees you when you are in your room on your knees pleading the blood of Jesus for people that may never even know you did it this side of eternity. He sees you when you trust him, when he calls you to give, when there's no way that you can see ends meeting. He sees you in that. He sees you when you love and forgive that person that has done the unforgivable. He sees you continuing to serve and love and give as you walk in faith, hope, and love. Even if nobody else celebrates you, God sees you and God loves you. So really quick, three reminders today to remember when you feel undervalued, underappreciated, and unseen. Your worth is determined by God. Those you serve the most often appreciate you the least. And what no one else sees is often most significant to God. And so wherever you are today, if you don't carry anything away from this, I want to say and be reminded again. How many lepers did Jesus heal, church? 10, right? And how many came back? Today is our opportunity to be the one. Let's be the one. Let's celebrate and praise Jesus' name. Let's continue to go back to him. Today, when you see something good, say something good about it immediately. Today's the day that you can thank your mother. Today's the day that you can say, hey, I know you didn't get it all right. Hey, I know I didn't get it all right either. We all went through there, but I love you. Today's the day where no matter where you are, reconciliation can happen. Today's the day that Jesus can break chains. Jesus can build bridges. Wherever you are right now, this is your opportunity to be the one. Because you know what? You may be the only Jesus that somebody sees in their life. You may be the God wink that that person needs because they feel like they are underappreciated, undervalued, and unseen. And you can say to them, when you love them with the love of Jesus, God sees you and God loves you. This is your chance to be the one, church. So wherever you are today, I just want us to be reminded, Jesus did not let the applause of this one leper change his mission. He did not let the rejection of nine lepers change his mission. He still stayed on mission to do the will of the Father for you and I in spite of us. Just a reminder, you and I, separated from God eternally in our sin. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. What do we mean by that? Well, what is sin? Anything that is against God's perfect will. Anytime we have hurt God and anytime we have hurt others. Yeah, the only way that we could be in this relationship that we look for with Creator God is to love God and love others. And you and I, in our helplessness and hopelessness, never could do that. We can never love God, love others. No matter how hard we did, we would always fall short of one or the other. And yet God made a way for you and I. He made a way for us because he sees us and he loves us. John 3:16 and 17 reminds us of the way that he made for us. And it says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Save the world through him. Jesus left his seat in heaven, his seat at God's table, and came down to earth for us. Fully man, fully God, to live the perfect, sinless, love God, love others life that you and I could never live. Pays the penalty for our sins, death, separation from God. He did that for us on the cross eternally, where you and I have hurt God and hurt others. And he loved us enough not to stay dead. The very Holy Spirit, the presence of God, raised Jesus up on the third day, defeating death, hell, and the grave. The same Holy Spirit that dwells in you and I through faith in Jesus Christ to live this life of love God and love others we were created to live. And the benefit of that is we get to take the seat at God's table we were created to be seated in from the foundations of the earth. Because the seat we sit in through faith in Jesus is his seat. So the question is before us, we have one or two choices. We can keep rejecting Jesus's seat, trying to find our value and our worth in the world, trying to find our appreciation and applause in the world, trying to find who you and I are created to be in this world. We try to make sure everybody sees all of our great accomplishments, our name in shining lights, and hopefully, just hopefully, one day when somebody walks past my tombstone, somebody can tell the story about me. Or we can sit in the faith of Jesus Christ in the chair we were created to sit in and eternally be God's story. And meet everyone in heaven that trusts him too. And can say, you know what? There was one day I felt unseen. One day I felt undervalued. One day I felt unappreciated. You showed God's love to me. The choice is yours. Which will you choose today? Jesus or anything else? With every head bow and every eye closed today, we pray this prayer of faith here at the Vine each and every week. And it's not the prayer, the words of this prayer that saves you, it's the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. And so as a Vine fam, we pray out loud together because nobody prays alone here at the Vine Church. And we're gonna say the words of this prayer of faith together for the benefit of those who trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior for the first time. So with every head bow and every eye closed, please repeat these words of this prayer of faith after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day that I may have life. Take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life, the best way I know how. With every head bow and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you to do a bold thing here on the count of three right now, because God sees you and God loves you. If for the first time you have trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to boldly raise your hand on the count of three. You can just slip it up and put it down on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. If that's you in the house of the Lord today, you can raise your hand. If you're online right now or you're listening online, you can put a raised hand emoji, or maybe, just maybe, you want to make sure that we know because we want to celebrate this with you. Shoot us a message in our app. You can reach out to us on social media. You can also send us a text message at 580-6698. That's 864-580-6698. We want to celebrate this decision with you. This isn't the finish line. This isn't the get out of hell insurance card. This is the starting block of the rest of your eternity and how you take those steps of faith as those lepers did to experience full healing is inside the local church. And we want to help you get in touch with a local church near you. And for the rest of us, I just want to remind us today, you can go ahead and stand up. We're going to step into a time of worship. Wherever you are today, maybe words have been hurting you. Maybe the praise of others is what you've been seeking. Maybe you're trying to make sure that you're seen in all your good works to try to hide what you do in the dark. Maybe today your worth has been found in this world. I just want to remind you that's just a lie from the pit of Satan, that Jesus is our defender. He is our shield. And that's what we're going to sing in praise to him today. So would you just praise him because of him being our shield and our defender. Let's worship together. Happy Mother's Day today. I'm so thankful that Jesus is our shield and defender, but just like a mother, doesn't that show the love of Jesus being our shield and our defender, our protector when it comes to that? So moms, we want to celebrate you today. So in the back, you should have a bag. There's a gift bag back there, and each one has a different one. In front of it has the candle and the soap that's there. There's a stress relief candle. It's not enough, Mom. It probably won't last the weekend. But just so you know, sometimes you know you just got to, oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm in execution mode. I need to be in defense attorney. Please help me. Maybe you got to do that. Light that up. Just some smell good soaps. If you want to grab one, that's one for each mother. But we also have a gift card from my niece, Madeline. She just opened up her place. So there's a $100 facial gift certificate in here for Beauty by Madeline. So I'm going to shake this up. If you pick your name, it's rigged, I'm sure. That's what they're going to say. Somebody pick it. Uh-oh. There we go. All right, Brittany Hanvey. Yay! I swear it's not rigged. That's it. So Brittany Hanvey wins the facial for that. So thank you for Madeline. She's back there with the babies right now. So thank you for that. So I will make sure you get that before you go. Brittany worked really hard on the photo booth. Make sure you grab some pictures. Make sure you grab your gift. There's also a rose. Mothers, those for you. Take one Don't take the whole bouquet. Make sure everybody has one before you do that. But make sure you grab that. And we just want to say thank you. We can't wait to see your smiling face next week. Maybe you got questions about baptism. We're going to answer those, and we're going to have baptism after the service. We've got a seat saved for you, so make sure you get here. And I know there's going to be some zero-calorie sweets for you. So have a great week, and always remember, the best is still yet.